Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. Isaiah, chapter 14. And I want to read you several verses here and try to tie them together for you tonight. So, Isaiah 14. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It answers so many questions for our world, and I want to read it to you, starting in verse 4. All right, now, you'll remember back, I don't know what, remember when it was, but several years ago, we did a Wednesday night series of lessons on prophecy concerning what all the prophets had to say about the return of the Lord. And in that series of messages, I identified for you through the book of Isaiah and through Jeremiah who the Lord calls the Antichrist, all right? And we learned that that in these pages in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, that God, the Holy Spirit of God, refers to the Antichrist as Pharaoh. He calls him Pharaoh one time. All right. Then he refers to him as the Assyrian, and that's many times he refers to the Antichrist as the Assyrian. He calls him several different things, but here in verse 4, I want you to notice that he's going to call him by another name, and this name is tied together with verses that deal with the devil, with Satan, and reveal his ultimate end. We find out where he came from. We find in these verses, we find out where he came from. We find out why he got in trouble. It's very clearly described for us, and there are several other things that we can learn about the devil, about Satan, from this passage of Scripture. One of the major ways to win a battle is to know your enemy. You know, you got to know your enemy. Well, I want you to know that the Apostle Peter said that we are to be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we need to understand how Satan operates, and we need to understand a few things about him that are revealed to us in these verses. All right, so look at verse 4, please. And he says that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. So right here, the devil, the Antichrist, is referred to as the king of Babylon. So keep that in mind, all right? And say, how hath the oppressor ceased? How has the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked. Now notice, the Lord, we can't break his staff. We can't stop him. All right. You and I are mere mortals. He is the anointed cherub. Now he's fallen, so he's not glorious anymore. When he fell, he was He was Lucifer. He was the shining one. And now he's the devil. All right? He's the devil. And there's nothing glorious about him at all. But he says in verse 5 that the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Now, of course, this is making a reference to the kingdom of the beast, of the Antichrist, during the tribulation period. And when the Lord comes back at his second coming, he is going to defeat the king of Babylon. And we're going to help him. All right, so read on verse 6. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. Now, if you have a Cambridge Bible, you have a little number 4 in verse 6. And that little 4 takes you over to their notes in the middle column. And it says H-E-B, which means Hebrew. And then it's in italics. So they're telling you what this literally translates to. And so what it literally translates to is this: a stroke without removing. A stroke without removing. You say, what's that mean? I remember one time I was about 12, maybe 13, and I did something. I don't remember what it was, thank the Lord. But I did something, and my mom got a wire flash water. And she came at me, she came at me with the intention of crippling me, I'm pretty sure. But she grabbed me by the arm, and she started flailing me with that thing. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to hurt her, but I didn't want her to hurt me either. And boy, she was trying her best. And she was hitting me with that thing. I had shorts on, and she was wearing me out with that metal fly swatter. And she said, but I didn't even flinch. That's how rebellious I was. I didn't even flinch. I just, and took it. And she kept hitting. She said, I'm going to beat you till you cry. And finally, she wore out. She got so tired, she had to quit. And I'm thankful that she did, because she just about killed me. But that's what, every time I read this verse, that flashes into my mind. But thank the Lord, she got tired out. But the devil never tires, does he? He never lets up. And that's what Isaiah is telling us about the devil here. He is the one who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. In other words, he just kept going. He did not stop. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. Boy, that's going to be a day, isn't it? Amen. Yeah, but it's not going to happen until the Lord comes back. Don't forget, he is the Prince of Peace. And so he's going to take the Antichrist, the devil, and he's going to cast him into hell, into the lake of fire. And finally, there will be peace and quiet on the earth. And it says they break forth into singing. And no doubt that's all of us. Verse 8, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon say, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against you. You didn't know Isaiah was from southern Israel, did you? Huh? No feller. No feller, that's a man, all right? Sounds like he come right out of West Virginia, if you want my opinion. All right, now look at verse 9. Watch this. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. to, what's the next word? Meet thee at thy coming. Even all the chief ones of the earth. Are you listening? All the chief ones of the earth. You know, they kind of rule things now, don't they? You know? No, they do. They rule things on this earth. This is their kingdom. And they rule things now. But it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. And I can't wait. All right? So he says, even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Wow. And they shall speak and say unto thee. So God is telling what all these people through the generations whom the devil has lied to and deceived and murdered and brought into hell because the devil got them away from the truth. And now he is saying that all the earth, all they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? They're going to look at the devil when God throws him into the lake of fire, and they're going to say to him, well, looky here, you're just like us. You lied, you cheated, you did all you could to drag the souls of men to hell. You did everything in your power, but now look where you've ended up. You're no better than any of us. And they'll blame him. And it'll say, art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now look at verse 12. These we're familiar with, these verses. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, folks, if your Bible right there where it says son does not have the word sun, but has the word star, you got a bad Bible. All right? You got a bad Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the star of the morning, not Lucifer. You say, well, how in the world did that happen? Because of Lucifer. That's how that happened. So if your Bible right there, O Lucifer, and if it does not say son, if the very next word is not son, then you have a Bible that has been messed with. And you need to get rid of it and get a real one. All right? Don't get mad at me. Why would you get mad at somebody telling you the truth? Verse 12, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? All right, so he's referring here to the devil, and he's saying, how'd you get in the shape you're in? All right, how'd you end up like this? Well, here's how he did it. In verse 13, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will, notice all these I wills. There's five of them. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where heaven is, all right, according to the psalmist David. Verse 14, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. You see that? Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The devil said, I will be exalted to heaven. God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. You're going to be brought down to the sides of the pit, that they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, all the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, and a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. And I could keep on reading. I guess we should read down to the end of the paragraph. Look at verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name, and remnant, and son, and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water. So bitter pools of water, all right? Like cesspools of water. That's what God is saying there. I'm going to take his kingdom and I'm going to destroy it. And I will sweep it with the bosom, with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I want us to think about these verses. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes here. I took 15 minutes to read that, but I had to lay a foundation upon which to put some kind of a structure tonight. So let's pray. And we'll ask the Lord to help us, and then I'm going to preach to you tonight a message I'm going to entitle, A Look at Satan. A Look at Satan. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. Bless this to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, we realize that the devil is our enemy. We realize that he would love to take the soul of every person into hell with him. But we are so thankful that there is a Bible that has your word, your truth, and there is a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts, and we have believed on the Son of God as our Redeemer and as our Savior. And so, Father, the devil cannot have us, but we need to know our enemy. So I pray that you will help me tonight. I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak, and bless the folks as they listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The words that I just read for all of you did not happen during Isaiah's day. I want you to understand that. Writing under, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah is recording an event that took place a few thousand years before Isaiah's few short years on this planet. He is describing for us a conflict that happened in heaven before the foundations of the world were laid. back before God created the heaven and the earth, there was a battle that took place in heaven. And so what we see is this great conflict that happened, and of course the players in that were two. It was the devil, Satan, and God. That was the original order. That was the original battle that took place. With all the evil and the wickedness that is in the world today, surely somebody ought to be responsible, don't you think? Somebody needs to be held accountable. We did not just get this way. There is a reason why we are not evoluting to a higher level, but we are devoluting. We are going away from God, not towards God as a society. And in this passage of Scripture, we find who that person is and how it all happened. In verse 12, we have the only place in all of the Word of God where we know the name of Satan before his fall from heaven. This is the only place that his name as the anointed angel is mentioned. Lucifer, the son of the morning. His name means brilliant one. Brilliant one. When he was created, he was the brilliant one. His name means the lighted one. And then here's an interesting thing. After his fall, he is no longer called Lucifer, but instead he is called Satan in the Old Testament, and he is called the devil in the New Testament. All right, just think about it. That's what you read. You've read it and not really paid attention to it, but that's what you read. He is called Satan in the Old Testament, but he is called the devil in the New Testament. Satan means slanderer, enemy, the opposer. Well, that doesn't sound as good as the brilliant one, does it? No, it doesn't sound near as good. Doesn't sound near as good as the lighted one. No, when he fell, God changed his name to Satan, and that name means slanderer, enemy, or the opposer. And he is identified throughout Scripture with many titles, all showing the evil nature of his work. In the Bible, Satan is referred to as the destroyer. He is the deceiver. He is an angel of light. He is Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. He is a roaring lion. Wouldn't you like to be known as Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies? Well, that's what God, that's how God views him. He's nothing more than the leader of all these pesky flies that we have here in Carroll County and all the rest of the world for that matter. I mean, they're bad here, but you ought to go to some other places. You think they're bad here. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but I mean, he's called everything that is negative. He is called the roaring lion. He is called the liar by the Lord Jesus. He was called the murderer by the Lord Jesus. He is called the beast, and he is called the dragon. And none of these titles paints a good picture of this evil creature that was created by God, but yet sinned, rebelled, and was kicked out of heaven to fall down to this earth. While the Bible refers to Satan as the god of this world, you need to understand that Satan is not God. Capital G, capital O, capital D. The devil is the God, small g, all right? He's the small g of God of this earth, of this world that we live in. And he was created by God as an angel. There is only one God. And that, of course, is the God of heaven. The Apostle Paul made that very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 when he said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You see, folks, Jehovah God is the only God. And the devil, Satan, Lucifer, is not God. Only Jehovah God is God. And Jehovah God is the only one who is omnipotent, as I said this morning, and omnipresent. In other words, he's all powerful and he's everywhere at all times. Number three, omniscient. He knows everything. And immutable. He is unchanging. He never changes. The God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and always will be, always will be. And so you say, well then, how does it seem like the devil is everywhere? Well, it's because, if you'll remember, when he fell from heaven, one third of heaven's angels fell with him. So in other words, he has a large supporting cast of evil emissaries that do his bidding. Satan can only be in one place at one time. He is not omnipresent. Only God is. All right? You following me? Only God is. He's powerful, but he's not omnipotent like our God is. No, he is not all powerful. That was proven when he rebelled against God and God kicked him out of heaven. So he's not as strong and powerful as God is. Only God is omnipotent. And so we need to realize that the devil is not all that he's cracked up to be. All right? Now, he thinks he's all that, but he's in for a rude awakening one of these days. Another great fallacy about the devil is that he is now bound and chained. No, he's not. No, he's not. I had a Christian one time come to me. He said, "Pastor, is the devil bound and chained?" I said, "No." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, I'm sure." He said, "You're absolutely positive." I said, "Yes, sir, I am absolutely positive." I said, "Why do you ask?" And he said, "I felt like he's been chained to me ever since I got saved." And I said, "Well, it seems like it probably, but no." No, the devil is not chained, and he's certainly not chained to you, all right? So all these things God uses in his word to give us a picture, a portrait of the devil, and I want you to think about some of these things that God says. All right, first of all, let's look at Satan's past, his past. And basically, that's what we have in verse 12 and following. We have his past. And what we see here is that the devil is really the chief of sinners. He's the chief of sinners. This was the original, the first, the premier sinner committing the sin that started the flow of all human suffering. This is it right here, when the devil rebelled against God. In Ezekiel 28, God tells us that iniquity was found in Satan. Iniquity was found in him. So let's look at his sin. What is it? Well, look at verse 14 here for just a moment, or verse 13, I'm sorry. In verse 13, it says, for thou hast said in thine heart. Do you see that? For thou hast said in thine heart. The first sin committed, listen carefully, the first sin committed against God was not a deed. It was not a deed. It was not an action. It was not some overt, blatant defilement of the flesh. The sin committed by Lucifer was a thought. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? It was a thought. I mean, the devil simply thought in his heart that he would overthrow God and overthrow heaven. That's what he thought. And the devil simply thought in his heart that he was going to kick God out and he was going to take over heaven. It doesn't even say he tried to do it. All right, do you see that? Doesn't even say he tried to do it. Just says he thought it. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, the devil simply thought in his heart that he would overthrow God. Doesn't even say that he put forth the effort to do so. He just thought about doing this evil thing. And again, folks, I think that this shows us the omniscience of God. It was in the devil's mind. It was not an action. It was not a deed. He just thought it, but the omniscient God of heaven knew what he was doing. Amen. That's how powerful our God is. Devil's not that way. Devil's not that way. You see, God is the only one who knows all, and God knew what was in his heart before he ever had a chance to act upon it. Now, what does this show us about God? Well, first of all, we learn how serious God is about this matter of sin. How serious. Folks, listen. Aren't you glad God hasn't dealt with you like he has dealt with Lucifer? Aren't you thankful for that? You should be. I mean, can you imagine the mess we would all be in if God dealt with us the same way he dealt with Lucifer? All right? One thought here. And the wrath of God fell upon him, and he was cast out of heaven and fell to the earth. And folks, I dare say that not a single one of us can say that we have only committed one sin against God like the devil did. No, we've got a bucket list full, don't we? Sure we do. We've got tons of them, millions of them. We've got sins that we've committed in our heart and in our mind that we don't even know that we've committed them. But God knows. God knows. And the truth is, we've sinned over and over and over and over against God. So what if God gave us what we deserve? Man, that would be rough, wouldn't it? Second, we see the principle of where much is given, much is required. Did not our Lord utter that statement? Where much is given, much is required. Now, when I told you that he only thought the thought, he didn't do anything, yet he got kicked out of heaven. I'm sure that somebody who's thinking here would say, well, Pastor, why was God so harsh with Satan? Why so harsh? I'll tell you why. You say, Pastor, he didn't even do anything. He just had a thought. I think it's clear from this and from several other passages of Scripture that God judges sin on the basis of the light that has been given to the sinner. All right, did that soak in? I think God judges sin on the basis of the light that has been given to the sinner. I mean, Jesus said it himself. Where much is given, much is required. Satan's sin was so exceedingly sinful because of the knowledge that he has, that he was privileged to have. All because of the knowledge that he was privileged to have. And so when he rebelled against what he knew, he had opportunity. When he did that, though, he got the ultimate punishment. The ultimate punishment. Folks, the principle is this. Unsaved man is going to be judged according to the light that he has been given. I believe that. I don't think God is an unjust God. If you have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get saved, and yet you have taken your hand and put it in the face of God and said no to the grace of God, I'm here tonight to tell you that the hell you will have to suffer is going to be far greater than there are words to express. And let me tell you something. I've probably told you all this before, but I'll tell you again. If I had to go to hell from any place in the world, I would not want to go to hell from the United States of America. You say, Pastor, why? With all the light that God has given this nation? I mean, it doesn't make any difference where you go. You're going to see a billboard that has something on it about Jesus. Amen. John 3:16. You're going to see a gospel tract somewhere. I've told you that people call here all the time and they'll say, you need to tell your people to quit leaving gospel tracts. And I say, well, they don't listen to me. Well, you're their pastor, aren't you? Yes. But they're not going to listen to that because they know better. Amen. Our job as believers is to spread the gospel. Amen. So why don't you help us? Oh, they don't like that. But nonetheless, that's what they ought to do instead of getting upset. I would not want to go to hell from Westminster, Maryland. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you just think about our country. Churches on every corner. You got the radio. You've got television. You got the billboards. You've got the printed page. You've got books everywhere. You've got the Bible everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you are presented with the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot imagine the wrath that will be unleashed upon those who day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year have heard the truth of the gospel and yet said no to God Almighty. I'm telling you, every time you reject God, you're just turning up the flames. Satan only had the thought of sin. He didn't even put forth any effort to do what he was thinking about. And yet the wrath of God fell upon him like thunder. How many times has the light of God crossed your mind when the light of God and when the light of God has shined upon your path? How many times have you said no to the Lord? Well, I tell you, you're saying no to an awful lot of light that God has given you. All right, one more thing. I want us to think about, we looked at his past, but now let's look at Satan's future. What's in store? Well, you know, right now he's living it up. You know? I mean, he has, you think about it, he has so many nations wrapped around his little finger. Just wrapped around his little finger. And he is doing his best to wrap America around his finger, even as we sit here tonight. He knows he has but a short time. And that's why he's so busy. He knows that his day is coming. You see, folks, the devil knows the Bible. Let me remind you, he took the Bible and used it against Adam and Eve. Right. Oh, he twisted it around for Eve. Yeah. And she fell for it. Yeah, she fell for it. And ever since, all he's wanted to do is simply drag as many people into hell with him as he can. He deceives the world through religion. Yeah. He deceives the world through false religion. Oh my, everywhere. You go over to China and you walk down any street of any town over there and you ask them, do you know of Buddha? Oh yeah, they'll tell you they know who Buddha was. You can ask them, do you know Shanti? And they'll, oh yeah, Shanti, yeah. Do you know the God of heaven? Who? Jehovah God. No, never heard of him. Well, did you know that Jehovah has a son? No, I didn't know that. What's his name? Oh, his name's Jesus. Never heard of that. Oh, they'll tell you they know who Buddha is. They know all the Shinto gods, but they don't know who Jesus is. You say, how's that happen? Well, there's a real devil, folks. And that real devil has decided to blind the eyes of them that believe not. And that's what he's been doing ever since he landed on this earth. Just trying to deceive. You see, the devil knows his work. And he knows what the future holds for him. And he knows that the day is coming when God is going to take him and cast him into the lake of fire. He knows that while he may be the small g god of this world and has persuasive powers to convince multitudes of spiritually blinded people to reject God and his son and his truth, ultimately, he knows that his end is going to be in hell forever and ever. He knows that. Now look, please, at your Bible. Look at verse 15 of this chapter. He said, the devil said in 13 and 14, I will. And God said, no, you won't. No, you won't. Look at verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought what? Down. You ever notice that hell is always referred to as down in the Bible? And heaven's always referred to as up. Up in the Bible. Amazing, isn't it? He said, I will. God said, no, you won't. No, you're going to be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Wow. That's heavy right there. That's heavy. Look at verse 14 again. Now I'm gonna paraphrase this for you, kind of give you a 2024 a reading of what is being discussed here. All right, in verse 13 and 14, God listens to the devil. I will, I will, I will. No, no, no. And in verse 13 and 14, the devil had one plan. His plan was to kick God out. And God said, no, you intended one thing for yourself, but your intent is not going to happen. You are not going to get rid of me. I'm God. You're not. All right? Look at your Bible. You see, there's only one God. I can hear the Lord saying this right now to Lucifer. There's only one God who can sit on heaven's throne. So for all these millennia now, the devil, knowing what his end result will be, has sought to destroy and to capture and to kidnap as many souls as he can so that he can take them, as many as he can, down to hell with him. That's his intent. He came right after Adam and Eve with that intent. That was his goal. And he's been after mankind ever since. Now, I want you to notice, look at your Bible again. All right, I want you to notice a little play on words here. The Holy Spirit's intent is to paint a picture with words. All right? Look at verse 13 and 14. Look at these words in 13 and 14. Look at your Bible. You have the word ascend. You have the word exalt. You have the word above. Who's talking here? The devil. Yeah. And what's his intent? What's his plan? I will. What are you going to do, Satan? I will ascend. In other words, God's out, I'm in. All right? I will exalt above stars, upon the mount, ascend. There it is again. Heights, clouds. But now in contrast that with that, God says this is what's going to happen to the devil. He's not going to ascend anywhere. He's going to descend. All right? He's not going above anything. No, he's going to be kicked below. He is not going to rise up on the mount. No, that's where God sits. That's where God sits. And so he was kicked out. So, I mean, the devil's plans were one thing. God said, no, this is not going to happen. And so you see all these things that God tells us about the devil, that he was brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, wait a minute, folks. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. All right? You got to get over to the end of the book of the Revelation. And that is when he is going to be kicked down into hell, into the sides of the pit. Now, everything here is designed to show these pictures or to paint these pictures. In verse 9, hell from beneath. And all the masses, look carefully here at verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. What? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Folks, the last one that's going to be cast into hell is going to be Lucifer, the devil. And what Isaiah says here, he's looking way down, way down. And he says that all of hell one day is going to be shaken. And they're going to be shaken, and they're all going to move so they can watch you dive head first. They're going to watch as you get thrown in to the lake of fire. And the implication here is that what he thought was going to be the whole of creation bowing to worship him when he was ascended to the throne is going to amount to all of those whom he has destroyed through the millennia rising up to curse him when he becomes under the judgment hand of God Almighty. You see, folks, instead of ascending to the sides of the north where heaven is, he ends up in the sides of the pit. And the idea is, and I'm told this by those who know and have studied the Hebrew language, and they know what the rabbis have said about these words that were chosen, and they're telling us that the word sides has the idea of a little hideaway, a little lower compartment, a little place where everybody's going to come and watch when the devil gets thrown in and when he slithers past everybody trying to get away from the ridicules and from the cursings that will be hurled at him. And he goes down into the sides of the pit where he is wanting to get away from the jeers and the cheers of the people. Amazing, huh? And look at what they say. Oh, my. Look at what they say. All right, they say the chief ones, all the big shots, you know, all the world leaders, all the musicians and Hollywood and all that bunch have sold their souls to Satan for popularity and money. All right, all that. You say, well, that's not real. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is real. You bet your boots it is. Hell from beneath, verse 9. Hell from beneath. And man, what an awful place. Go back to the last part of that verse 8. Since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Once God shut you up, everything's fine. You see, he's the problem. That's the point. He is the problem. All right? He said, look at what they'll say. They'll say at the end of verse 9, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as us? You see, everybody thinks the devil is just this powerful, powerful thing. No. Under the wrath and judgment of God, he's going to become just like any other sinner who rejects God and be cast into hell like everybody else that has rejected the truth. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Ugh. That's what Jesus said, you know, the hell was the place where the worm dieth not. Can you imagine throughout eternity, throughout eternity being eaten by worms? There's not a thing you can do about it. How awful. How awful. But look at verse 22, folks. Look at verse 22, and I'll close with this. He said, "For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern." You ever see an old swamp infested, you know, it's got that green algae growing on it, and you walk over and look down in it and it stinks, and you see an old snake crawling around. You see that algae, and it's almost like it's turning itself over. Oh, it's so disgusting. Well, that's what a bittern is, all right? Just bitter water, pools of water, bitter water. "And I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts." Wow. Wow. In other words, folks, through it all, God will be God. God will be God. Satan is defeated, and yet God will still be on the throne. You and I will spend all of eternity with him. I don't know about you, but man, I am glad that I got saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to say what Isaiah told us about Lucifer, about Satan, about the devil. And Father, we realize that he wanted to be God, but there is no God but the God of heaven, and Jehovah is his name. Father, I pray you'll help us to realize whose side we're on and to realize that the side we're on is the winning side. And Father, may we get excited about reading our Bibles and learning all of this, hiding your word in our hearts so we won't sin against you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us tonight to have that heart's desire to want to get close to you and stay in the word. So bless us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.